Our Bible reading today is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language."
G'day, good life. My name is Ryan, and my wife, Kristen, and I moved from Canada to Australia in 2006. We were attending Good Life for 7 years, and during that time, we had 3 kids. As tough as it was to leave that community, we moved to a large city in North Africa, and we've been here for the last 6 years. Life here is really different. People on the street, they speak French and Arabic, for one thing. Secondly, the country is 99.9% Muslim. So that means the cities are filled with mosques, and we hear the call to prayer ringing out 5 times a day. Also, there's huge cultural differences, which is a real adventure. You know, when I moved to the sunny coast, one of the things that surprised me about the culture was how early everybody wakes up. If you go down to Mooloolaba, there's more people on a Saturday at 7 a.m. than the night before, Friday at 11 p.m. It's an early morning culture. The sun comes up so early and people are out running or cycling or walking their dog or catching some waves. It's an early morning culture. Now here, it's the exact opposite. Kristen and I attended a wedding recently where they served the meal at 12:30 a.m. We were the first guests to leave the wedding at 2 a.m. and it was a Monday. Cultural differences are an adventure and sometimes they can be hilarious. We have large grocery stores here, just like a Woolies in Australia, but we buy most of our food from a small local market. And it's a place that we've built a bit of a community. We know everybody there. We've got our chicken guy, we've got our beef guy, spices guy, veggies and produce guy, our carpenter, our photocopy shop. We know everybody there. Now, one time our butcher invited us over to have lunch at his home, and my wife baked a cake to bring with us. You know, you don't want to show up empty-handed. I think that's pretty universal. Well, his wife had also baked a cake, so after we finished the lunch, there were 2 cakes sitting on the table. Now, she cut up her cake and served everybody a slice, which we enjoyed, and then we were all sitting around staring at the second cake. You see, from our cultural perspective, she's the hostess. She's been the one directing the courses of the meal, offering tea and coffee, etc. So we expected her to serve the cake or to invite us to do it. But here, that would be very presumptuous and rude. And we quickly learned that she was expecting us to do it. Because Kristen had brought the cake, our hostess expected Kristen to also serve the cake. So because of a small cultural difference, all of us were sitting around the table, staring at each other, wondering why the other side was being so rude. Now, culture differences can offer some challenges, but that diversity is something that God loves. God is the one who created different languages and different cultures, and it's a big part of his beautiful creation. You know, think about the natural world and all the diversity we find there. You know, when I moved to Australia, I had never heard a kookaburra, magpie, a cockatoo, a rainbow-crested lorikeet. All these birds were brand new to me. Or if you've ever gone snorkeling or you've gone diving up on the reef, the diversity under the water blows you away. All the colors, all the shapes, all the sizes. God is big on diversity. And we have this picture in heaven that John gives us in his vision in Revelation of the diversity we're going to see. And I'll read from Revelation 7:9. It says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" So John has this vision of a great multitude of people that represents every tribe and every people and every nation. And even though they're all dressed the same, they're all wearing these white robes, he can visually see that this represents the diversity of the world. And he can hear that it represents all the languages of the world as well. See, God created all the languages and the cultures of the world, and he desires that all nations would know and worship him. This ties back to the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples to speak in all the various languages. It says in verse 5, "There were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven." Now, in order to understand God's heart for people, you've got to understand the word nation in the New Testament. In Greek, the word is ethnos, which is where we get our word ethnicity. So to say that somebody is Canadian doesn't say a whole lot about their ethnicity. You don't know where their ancestors came from. Are they from a European background, Chinese, Indian? You don't know what language they speak at home. You don't know when they eat meals, are they using a fork? Are they using chopsticks? Are they using bread in their hands? See, in one country, there are many, many different nations, many different languages, many different cultures. And Australia is the same. So when Luke writes in Acts 2 that staying in Jerusalem were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, he doesn't mean countries with political borders. He's talking about all the different people groups, all the unique communities with a language and a culture all their own. Or when we sing, "Let the nations cry out, he is mighty to save." We're not talking about countries recognized by the UN. We're talking about people groups. We're talking about ethnos, about these unique and diverse languages and cultures that God has created. So Luke describes how all of these nations, they heard the disciples declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. God desires that all nations, all peoples, all cultures of the world would know him and would worship him. Check out this clip of my wife Kristen sharing a message of encouragement to women in Arabic.
O ana brit kum heta entuma ta'rafu had haqiqa. Allah khalaqna rajal o aylat antna nifs alqima walakin bzaf almarat hana alaylat kanansaw alqima dialna o mandnash altaka farasna. داكشي علاش خصنا نشجعوا المجتمع ديال العائلات الاخرين في حياتنا.
That full video was shared on YouTube and seen by well over 1,000 people here. Really, really cool. Now, most of us won't learn a second or a third language, become trilingual like Kristen, but all of us can cross smaller language barriers in order to connect with different cultures around us. You know, when I moved to Australia, I spoke fluent English, but I still had to learn a lot of new language. At first, I was very confused by the expression, "How you going, mate?" And I didn't know the words avo, cuppa, ute, Sparky, Nappy, Dummy. I spoke English, but all of these were brand new words to me. In my mind, a snag was a sharp object that could tear your sweater. But I wanted to belong in Australia. I wanted to join the community there, and so I learned. There was a willingness to cross that small language barrier. Now, parents do this all the time. I know that in creative mode, you can spawn creepers. Now, if you have any idea what I just said, you probably have kids that play the video game Minecraft. Now, I don't have any interest in video games, but I want to connect with my kids, and so I can speak a little bit of Minecraft language. Because I love them, there's a willingness on my part to cross over those cultural barriers. See, love is really the driving force or the fuel that pushes us to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and connect with somebody from a different culture. Another important principle when you're crossing cultures is to take the posture of a learner, to come as a student, as a listener, as somebody who's interested and wants to discover the gifts and treasures in the other culture. When we first moved to North Africa, we lived with a local family for 2 weeks because we wanted to learn and discover the way they lived. We wanted to see their culture from the inside. Kristen took a cooking class so she could learn to prepare a lot of local dishes and, of course, the staple beverage, mint tea. You see, God created diversity. He's the one that created the languages and the cultures. It's part of His beautiful creation. And He loves all nations. He desires all peoples to know Him and to worship Him. But even if you love all peoples, you still need to see the opportunities around you. Last year, I did a business trip to Saudi Arabia. And this was a cool opportunity because it's been a closed country for decades and decades. Not many people outside the Arab world spend time there. But I have a good friend who lives in the capital city. His name is Mashari. But this picture you see of Mashari sitting on the carpet, serving tea, serving dates, this wasn't taken in Saudi Arabia. It was taken in Majimba when he was my neighbor. See, Mashari spent a couple years on the Sunshine Coast studying English and learning to fly helicopters at the airport. His whole classmate was part of a program from the Saudi Army to spend time in Australia learning these two things. So if you've ever seen a woman in a burqa walking around in Malulaba, there's a high chance she's the wife of a Saudi Army helicopter pilot. It's a pretty cool opportunity to meet somebody from a different culture, particularly from a country that's very difficult to access. I studied at the University of the Sunshine Coast, and that school has students that come from Argentina, from India, from the Philippines, from Vietnam. You know, Sunny Coast may not be as diverse as a city like Sydney or Melbourne, but there are opportunities to share God's love across cultures if you have the eyes to see them. God loves the nations of this world, and He desires that all peoples, all languages, all cultures would have the opportunity to know and to worship Him. So may you catch God's heart for the nations, and may you see the opportunities around you, and may God's love be a fuel for the willingness to cross cultural barriers so that people from around the world can hear the love of God declared in their language. Amen.